Wicklow TD and Minister for Higher Education, Simon Harris, is on the line. Good morning, Minister.
Morning, Declan. Thanks for having me on.
Good morning to you, Simon. Nice to talk to you again, and Happy New Year to you.
Feels awful like last year, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Fingers crossed, though, that things will get better. The related department to your own, as regards schools being closed, are the teachers right to withdraw their services for next Monday?
I'm really nervous about actually blaming anyone, because, you know, I know, and we all know brilliant teachers, and they want their kids back. I actually met a teacher union yesterday in relation to issues in my own department, and I don't doubt that their commitments. But look, teachers, parents, students, everybody, I suppose, is worried about the prevalence of this virus at the moment. And we have a real body of work to do here to reassure people. I'm often struck by what the National Public Health Emergency Team says. You know, the schools aren't a risk to the community, but the community can be a risk to schools. In other words, when the community transmission gets so high. I'm not going to engage in any political gobbledygook this morning, being honest. I mean, today is a bad day. We need to do a hell of a lot better. I am beyond gutted with what has happened in relation to special needs schools and special needs classes. Whatever, leaving certain, we can talk about that in a second. But, I mean, we have a group of children here who are, I suppose, by definition, the most vulnerable. And in fairness, I share Norma Foley's ambition. I think she was dead right. Try and get them back into the classroom in a way that is safe. You know, say we can't have a million people going back to school next week, but we're going to prioritise bringing back the most vulnerable. And look, those plans have to be made quite quickly. Remember, only a few days ago, we were planning on everybody going back, was the advice on the 11th. And the fact that they have now kind of fallen apart is gut-wrenching. Now, I spoke to the minister this morning, and I know kind of as we speak, she's had a number of meetings this morning with the various stakeholders and unions and representative bodies, and we need to sort this out. When I was in health and schools were closed, we came up with another initiative and another way of supporting kids with special needs. In fairness, it was a bit late in the day. It took us too long to do it. But we do now have that blueprint where we looked at how we could provide children with support outside of school. And that's one thing that I think health and education need to work together on. So we have a hell of a lot of work to do, and there's no point pretending this is a very bad day.
Yeah. On a human level, though, with the number of cases, and we're told that this is being transmitted very fast, this new strain, you know, you can't blame teachers, and I know you're not trying to blame anybody, but come home to their household and they have a conversation, and it's sort of, and you're going back to work in this?
You know? Yeah, no, you're 100% correct. I mean, I can't and won't blame anybody, actually, for the very reasons that you say. Families right across the country, my own included, we're worried again about this virus. We're frightened about the virus. And everybody wants to do the best. But what I am saying alongside that comment is all of us, every single one of us now, teachers, SNAs, the minister, the government, every single one of us, we need to dig really deep to try and find a solution to protect the most vulnerable kids. I mean, the plan, let's be honest, the plan is to reopen all schools again on the 1st of February. But we also have to have a contingency plan. Because I was in government the last time in health when, you know, we were planning on a few weeks of a closure, and God willing, that's all it is. But it did go on for longer. And what I do know, and I know very well, and I know some of these families, I know them by name, I know their kids by name, we can't have a situation where for weeks and weeks and weeks we don't support these children. And whether that's in a school setting, ideally, or whether it's in another way, we have to come up with a better way. And I think they're right. I'll give you one idea. We have a thing every year called the July provision. And the July provision is basically 40 hours of additional support given to children during the school holidays. I mean, perhaps we should be looking at how, knowing that these children are already missing out in school, how we can elongate that, how we can provide a longer program so that parents can at least know the time that my child is missing, my special needs child with additional needs, then at least we get that time back later in the year. So I think there are a number of innovative things that can be done. And in fairness to everybody, I think there's a willingness from everybody to find a solution. But communication is key. You've got to keep talking to people. You've got to keep engaging.
But as we know, many of the teachers and supporting teachers and people who worked in special education, etc., were taken away to do other duties during the early portion of the pandemic.
They were, and I suppose, and of course I would say this, but I do genuinely believe it's the truth. I mean, in the early days of the pandemic, we didn't have testing teams and tracing teams, and we literally had to ask everybody and anybody who was able to help. And people in the health service particularly did an incredible job. Also people in the army, the guards, in, you know, really going above and beyond, and people were redeployed. And that kind of had to be done. But, I mean, what we are doing now, and in fairness, my colleague Stephen is doing this, I mean, what we are now doing is building up a, let's call it a permanent testing and tracing workforce. So every week more people are being hired to work in testing and tracing. And that's not just something that's happening today. I mean, that's something that's been going on for quite a period of time. I think we need to use the army much more, because, you know, I was in a school in Dunlavin a couple of months back when you were allowed to move around a little bit. And, you know, I remember meeting a teacher, a special needs teacher there, and she was talking about the real impact that having to redeploy, I think it was a physiotherapist or an occupational therapist, redeploy them from the community into tracing and testing was having, that the kids were already, you know, let's be honest, we didn't have great access already, and it was just making the problem much, much worse. So there are, look, I mean, this is the virus. This virus causes chaos, and it doesn't present us with easy options. But just to give people a little bit of hope, because I might sound a little bit downbeat this morning, I mean, just to give people a little bit of hope here, I joked at the start that this year feels an awful lot like last year, and it does, but this will be the year that we'll move on from this. I mean, it is going to take longer than we'd like, but this will be the year, through vaccination, that not just us, but hopefully the world, emerges from this. But we just have to really, really be very careful and hold firm until then.
Yes. Headline in the Irish Examiner today, government in no rush to make decision on leaving cert, despite pressure from Labour. So that directly affects your job, what happens at the leaving certificate, predictive grades, and it was 23,000 have signed a petition calling for predictive grades to be an option for leaving cert students this year. You know, you no doubt will be talking to Minister Foley about this, but yes. What's your view?
So from my narrow perspective, so from the perspective of getting students from second level to third level, what I need and what universities need is a clear pathway. So generally, that's the leaving cert. Last year, it wasn't the leaving cert, it was calculated grades. And in fairness to my department and universities across the country and colleges, I think they showed that they worked to make that work. I hear different views from different students, I hear different views from different teachers, but I do know from listening to whether it's the ASTI, other unions, Department of Education, I mean, all of the stakeholders seem to very much want the leaving cert to go ahead. I don't know who's talking to the Irish Examiner, and they generally have very good sources, but anyone who says government isn't in a rush is not in the government, because I mean, what we need to do this year is avoid what happened last year. I mean, last year there was, and again, this is not a blame game, and it was very much the impact of the pandemic, but students were messed around last year. The exams were on, the exams were off, the exams were happening this month, then they were moved, and the stress and the anxiety and the mental health impact of that was very, very significant. So the intention is to hold the leaving cert. Minister Foley has set up a group with all of the stakeholders on to make sure that can happen. But I would think it's very, very important that this month there are kind of clear updates given to the public as to how that's going to happen, and crucially given to students. So it is the intention of government to hold the leaving cert. But I think we'll have to do more than just repeat that line. I think in the coming weeks we'll have to give detail. And when I say the coming weeks, I mean this month, as to exactly how those plans are going.
So
I think there's a lot of things going
yes.
in favour. Sorry to interrupt you. I think there's a lot of things going in favour of the leaving cert this year, considering back to our vaccination schedule. You know, by the time a leaving cert is done, God willing, we'll be in a very, very different place with this virus.
Will a decision depend on how soon students will be able to go back to school? That, of course, will depend on the numbers.
Yes. Look, I think. I mean, back to first principles here. I mean, Tony Houlihan, Dr. Tony Houlihan, our Chief Medical Officer, wrote a letter to Stephen Donnelly, and it's been much talked about in the last 24 hours, and I don't have it in front of me, but to paraphrase, the letter basically said, look, schools in general are safe, the reopening of schools would be a success. However, the full reopening at this point in time, when the virus is so high in the community, would not be helpful, right? That's not, they're not his words, but that's kind of a summary. The phrase full reopening, so what Minister Foley was trying to do, in fairness to her, and I agree with her, what she was trying to do was saying, well, look, if you can't fully reopen the schools, what are the groups you prioritise? And she wisely decided you prioritise leaving cert students and you prioritise our most vulnerable students. And I still think we need to get back to that conversation with the teaching partners, with the education partners, as to how do you make that a reality. Now, we're in a very, very precarious place with this virus this morning, no matter what number you look at. I've been following this for many, many, many months. I have never been more worried about COVID than I am today. Having said that, there are signs that over the coming weeks, as we all reduce our contacts and stay at home and all those really difficult things that we're having to do again, there are signs that, you know, you would hope that over the coming weeks community transmission would drop. And I think that again will hopefully change the conversation for the better in regards to schools.
Moving into your own area, how do you see third level being rolled out next year?
So I'm actually going to a meeting, a virtual meeting at 11 o'clock with representatives of the staff, the managers and the students, crucially the USI, to have that very conversation. I expect third level to be functioning much more normally next year. So third level, the new academic year doesn't start till September, and in some universities and colleges it doesn't start till October. And by any metric, we should be making very, very significant progress on vaccination at that point. So I do genuinely believe that college next year will look an awful lot more like college did in my day than college does today. I really want to thank my sector. I want to thank the unions in it. I want to thank the managers and leaders of the universities and colleges and the students, because we've actually had a very collaborative approach. So we haven't had easy decisions to make, but we've been very blunt and honest with each other. So we said quite a while ago, once we're at level 3, 4, or 5 with COVID, and we're very certainly at level 5 now, once we're at level 3, 4, or 5, the majority of learning takes place online. So we have provided, it's bad news, but we did at least provide that certainty. And what I'm working with students to do now, and I think it's generally recognised we've done quite a bit in this space, but I accept we need to do a bit more. So we've provided 17,000 laptops to students to help them study online. We've increased the mental health support. But I am a little bit worried, and I want to talk to the universities about this today. Like, I've provided a lot of extra funding for student mental health. I want to hear and see how that's being provided to students if they're sitting at home in the box room in their house or at the kitchen table in their parents' house. So how are we getting those supports out to students as well? And then I also want to follow up on some of the valid points being made by the USI, the Union of Students, who are basically saying, look, you need to show a bit of compassion and cop on for students who, you know, struggle this year if they fail an exam, you know, do they have to pay repeat fees and the like? So I want to see if we can do a little bit more to recognise that this year has been really rotten for them, you know?
Yeah,
so my hope at this stage is that if we get to a point that the virus starts to behave itself again, that we can try, and I can't guarantee this, but that we can try at least get first-year students in very small groups invited in to see the college, to at least say, look, first year has been a rotten year for you, but here's where you will be going to college. This is what it will feel like. Because I do think that connection is important. If you're a first-year college student now, remember you finished physically attending school last March. It's been a long time, you know, at home and potentially somewhat isolated. So that remains one of my ambitions, but it will very much depend on how the virus goes.
So the plan is to have the Leaving Cert as normal, have third level then options for students who will start as normal in September.
That is the plan, but to be very clear, because, you know, people might say, well, sure, isn't that a grand plan? It's not that we just announce that plan and sit idly by. At 11 o'clock every Friday, my most senior officials and very often me meet with all of those stakeholders that I've been talking to about, the students, the colleges, the unions, and to keep all of this under review. But that is the plan. And we've taken a number of steps to make sure that we're going to have a record high number of college places next year. So you'll remember I had to try and deal with the fallout of calculated grades, and I got the go-ahead for a lot of extra college places this year. My worry was that they'd be once off, and the good news is I've managed to get the funding to make them permanent. So all of the extra places that went into the college system this year will be available next year. And on top of that, about 2,000 additional places will also be available. So hopefully that will that will help.
Just to say, the technology, once again, supports for... you know, people, disadvantaged people who cannot access all these, and you know, they might have the brains, and they might be our future, but unfortunately, yeah, they're thwarted.
So two things in relation to that. Firstly, every single public college in Ireland has received a very decent quota of laptops to give out to students. So if you are a Wicklow student, or any student indeed listening to this morning, you should be well aware that that's there. But if you're not, please do get onto your college access office in relation to that. And if you have any difficulties, people in Wicklow know where to find me. And secondly, we have also increased, there's a fund in college called the Student Access Fund, the Student Support Fund, my apologies. And usually there's about €8 million a year in that. we've doubled it to 16 million. What's that there for? Well, it's there for someone who falls on hard times. So, you know, maybe the cost of the broadband, maybe you need to buy a dongle to boost your internet, you know, that sort of stuff. So those, I would direct people to those two supports. And the other support I'd direct students to, but I'd also direct anybody in the country to, is the new 24/7 mental health text line. So there's a free 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week number. It's called 50808. So you can text that number, 50808, any time, day or night. If you're feeling low or fragile, as we all can from time to time, and there'll always be someone there to talk back with you and to help you through. And I think we need to just help make that number famous.
Okay, just a couple of things for our community here. Greystone School Places, you know, any resolution there? I know you're involved with other TDs in this.
Yeah, look, the TDs in County Wicklow, in fairness, we're working hand in glove on this. We're meeting with a parents group that have been set up, a really good group of parents. We've met them a couple of times on a Saturday morning, and I know we're due to meet them again this month. We have a couple of things going on. Basically, without confusing people from outside of Greystone, we have a situation where we have two schools in temporary accommodation. We have the school at the rugby club that's due to move into its new building in Charlesland, and then we also have the new secondary school that's located in the tennis club. We're working with the secondary school to make sure that they get accommodation in Aroge in Greystone, including technical rooms whilst they're waiting for their new build. And we're working with the department, who have gone to conciliation with the builder on some outstanding issues about the primary school. I'm hopeful of progress on both. I'm a bit annoyed though about we need housing, and we've a lot of housing going into Greystone. Delgany, no issue with any of that at all. But I do have an issue with it going in without enough pressure being put on the developer to put in place a school in advance of that. And I've had conversations with Wicklow councillors on this. I think we have to start playing hardball. There's a lot of developers making a lot of money out of this county, and good luck to them. Really important, though, that before they start flogging the houses, that they start opening the schools and building the schools. So I'm not best pleased with some of the carry-on in relation to that. And I think all of us, regardless of our political jersey in County Wicklow, need to get a bit harder on that.
Special needs bus drivers. We had a query in from a driver. They don't seem to be on the priority list for vaccination. Have you got a view?
I'll have to check that, being very honest. I mean, all I can say is that the priority list for vaccination is quite rightly not drawn up by politicians. I wouldn't fancy a politician deciding who gets the vaccine first. It is drawn up by the National Immunisation Advisory Committee, which is a group of doctors and scientists. Priority one, as we know, is nursing home residents over 65. Priority two, frontline healthcare workers. And then we move on to people in the community over a certain age and people with underlying health conditions. I think, and I don't want to overspeak or overstep the mark on this, but I think more and more in the last couple of hours, even hours, we've heard about, is one of the ways of getting the schools open and keeping schools and special schools open, looking at if you can prioritise vaccination for them. I think that's a very good idea, but no government minister should promise it unless we have certainty over supply.
Right.
So I'm sure that's something we keep looking at.
Okay, and of course, if we vaccinate the driver, we have to look at, of course, the pupils as well.
That's what I mean, and I mean, let me just be very clear and very honest. At the moment, we have not yet vaccinated everyone living in nursing homes and every nurse and every doctor, and that has to be the priority. Frontline healthcare staff, older people in nursing homes, and then older people and people with medical conditions. So there can't be any, and I'm not suggesting that listener is seeking that, but there can't be any kind of political interference in this. We have to vaccinate those most medically in need. And if God willing, supplies start to ramp up, not just in Ireland or across the world, and obviously we saw the second vaccine, the Moderna vaccine, approved the other day. As supplies start to ramp up in the coming weeks and months, as I expect they will, we can perhaps have more kind of more interesting conversations about what space that gives us to do more in terms of vaccines.
Can the minister expand on what children are allowed to attend creche?
So I can, but what I'm not going to do is read out the list, because I'll drive every listener mad. But there is a list of essential workers, and it's published on gov.ie. I mean, the bottom line here is we all have to go back to first principles. The message from Tony Houlihan, government, everybody, is please stay at home. So if it is in any way possible for you to stay at home, you to work from home, your child to stay at home, that's where we need to be. Of course, that's not possible for everybody. And we all think we're essential, and I don't mean that smartly, and we all do various jobs that are important to the companies we work with and the businesses we work with. And there are some people that have to obviously go to work. people who work in the hospitals, not just people who work in the hospitals, people who, you know, people who collect our waste, people who work in our supermarkets, postmen and women. There's been a lot of unsung heroes during this time. So there's a very comprehensive list on gov.ie, so I'd refer the listener there.
Right, and just looking through some of the questions as we finish up. There are staff in the schools that will still maintain them. They still have to go to school.
That's probably, so again, it's not for me to individually manage every school, because that won't be helpful. I mean, the message that I would give to any employer, whether you're a school, whether you're whoever you are, public service or private service or private sector, we want people to be staying at home except what is absolutely essential. From time to time, there can be essential things to do in any business or any public sector building. But we really need, I mean, what's the aim here? The aim is that if we all go back into our homes and stay at home, begin to really reduce the spread of the virus. I think Tony Houlihan said last night, you know, while we're hearing about new strains and new variants of the virus, and we're learning about that, one thing that hasn't changed with any variant or strain is it still needs us to come into contact with each other for it to spread. So if we can stay apart as much as possible, that minimises the spread. Could I mention one other Wicklow thing as well, just while I'm here?
Well, I was just going to mention this. Is this about money that's available?
Well, I'd love to mention that too, but I was just going to mention, I'm always on as the Minister for Higher Education, and I'm very proud to be the Minister for Higher Education, but I'm also the Minister for Further Education, and I do have responsibility for skills and retraining and getting people back to work. And I just want to let people know, a lot of people have lost their jobs. A lot of people today in construction may lose their jobs, at least temporarily. A lot of people are sitting at home wondering, how do I retrain? Do I reskill? Do I want to change course? I just want to direct people to the Kildare Wicklow Education and Training Board. There's adult guidance counselling support there. And in the coming days, I'll actually be launching a one-stop shop website, which I'll send the details of you to. But whether you want to do an apprenticeship, if you're a business in Wicklow thinking of taking on an apprentice, we'll give you, for the first time ever, €3,000 up front, €2,000 up front and €1,000 in 12 months to hire someone. So there's a lot of support out there to try to get people back on their feet. And I just want people in Wicklow to know there's people in Wicklow unemployed today who never in their wildest imagination thought they'd be without a job. That's what COVID has done. And we're going to have to help get people back on their feet. The other point in Wicklow is that today, we've announced today, my colleague Heather Humphreys has announced, as part of the Town and Village Renewal Scheme, about €500,000 for Wicklow. And there's a number of very interesting projects. I won't go through them all because I know we're tight on time, but we're providing money to link, to improve the footpaths in Animo, to develop a new walking track around the Rooster Park in Avoca. I'm really excited about this, to adapt the Baraka Resource Centre, which would be known to many of us in Lara, to create remote working spaces. So again, lots of people are working from home. In the future, perhaps people might like to live in County Wicklow and not have to travel to Dublin every day. So that money, I think, to create a remote working space where you'd be able to work in Lara, and also up in Enniskerry to improve pedestrian access and to develop a community garden and do some remedial works around the village clock tower. So just some bit of nice news for County Wicklow on a difficult day.
Indeed. Okay, and just one last thing. The list that Simon Harris gave out about essential workers, will that equate with being prioritised for a vaccine?
Good question. It doesn't equate exactly. I mean, it doesn't equate exactly in the sense that what we're saying is there's certain people that have to go to work who will need to continue to put their child in a creche. The vaccination prioritisation is based on the likelihood of, if you got the virus, how badly would you be affected? So it's prioritising older people in the first instance, people working in the hospitals in the other instance. But what I am saying to everybody is, as our vaccine supplies ramp up, we'll be continually looking at that list. Like, we want to vaccinate as many people in this country as quickly as possible so we can move on with our lives. And as the supply ramps up, it will give us the scope to do much more. We're getting about 14,000 vaccines a week now. That looks like to go to 50,000 shortly with the Moderna vaccine coming on stream. And we all know about this AstraZeneca, the one developed in Britain, which is not yet approved in the European Union, but that's our next great hope, I think. So we should keep a close eye on the supplies.
Okay, Minister for Higher Education and Further Education, Simon Harris. Thanks very much indeed, Simon.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.